The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Thanks, Andrew.
Have you ever heard two people talking? One person's talking away and then they stop and say, "Are you listening to me?" And the other one says, "Oh, I'm hearing you." Hearing and listening are different things, aren't they? And when one says, "Are you listening to me?" and the other one says, "I'm hearing you," does that really mean they've been listening? Hearing's the first part of listening. Hearing means that there is noise in the world around about you and you are aware of it, but most of it we ignore, sometimes to our own peril. Listening means that you are hearing it, you're focusing on it, you are interpreting it, and ideally you are understanding what it is that you are hearing. And then as you listen, you have to choose how you're going to respond, whether that's within yourself or whether that's something you're going to say or if that's something you're going to do. And so last week we started this new sermon series on the book of James. James is a book of very practical wisdom on living God's way in today's world. And it doesn't get any more practical than listening and choosing how you're going to respond to it. And that's the theme of today's passage. Today we're going to look at this aspect of bringing blessings by doing what God's word says. And in today's passage, what James is doing is summarizing, if you like, he's giving an introduction to what he's going to spend the next four chapters talking about. So today's a prelude and a concise summary of the coming weeks. And essentially, in this passage, he draws it down to three key themes: listen and respond to others, listen and respond to the word, and as you listen to others and as you listen to the word and as you respond to that, you will grow in holiness. And so he starts with this aspect of listen and respond to others. In verse 19, he says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." So he's writing to my dear brothers and sisters. That's every one of you. He says, take note of this because this is really important. And in case you didn't get it, it's for everyone. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And these are really practical directions on how to live as a follower of Jesus. Now, what James is writing here isn't just his own learned experience. Last week I mentioned that James was a very devout Jew. He would have been familiar with the wisdom literature that had been written. It's called the Jewish wisdom literature. It had been written in the previous sort of 200 to 250 years. Some of that is recorded in the Apocrypha, or what they call the intertestamental writings, that between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And one of those books in the Apocrypha is called Sirach. Sirach, today we're going to look at chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, because James is drawing upon that. Because it says there, be quick to hear, but deliberate in answering. If you have understanding, answer your neighbour. If not, put your hand over your mouth. Be quick to hear, but deliberate in answering. In other words, deliberate on your response before you answer. When you have heard, deliberate before you respond. Even if you disagree, even if you are hurt, even if you are offended, don't fly off the handle. Take time to deliberate on what you have just heard before you respond. In the same way, James is saying, be slow to become angry. And last week we saw that James is drawing extensively on the teachings of his brother, Jesus. He draws extensively on the Sermon on the Mount. And here again, if we look at what Jesus taught on Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5, Jesus said, but I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. And then he goes on to say about the way that people would respond. When someone's heard something, their response might be, anyone who says to a brother or sister, raka, is answerable to the court. Raka is an Aramaic term of contempt. It means you good for nothing. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. And so we're seeing here that if you are hearing something and you are responding in anger, there can be a consequence, not just for the person you are angry at, there can be a consequence for you. Judgment. Answerable to the court. Fire of hell. These are really strong words. Because you see, James and Jesus here are not talking about godly anger. Godly anger is where there has been an injustice and you feel this rising up within you against injustice. That's godly anger. What's being talked about here is not godly anger. It's what will be later referred to as man's anger. And it can come in different forms. There can be direct aggressive anger. There can be the indirect, the passive aggressive anger. And either form is a deviation from righteousness. Because what we see in the next verse is it says, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Human or ungodly anger is incompatible with God's righteousness. Now, what's righteousness? Righteousness means to be in a right relationship with God. It means to be in good standing with God. It means to be doing things the way that God would want you to do them. And when we look at what human anger does not build relationships, it damages relationships. When we think of human anger, it leads to poor decision making, when decisions are made in the heat of the moment. If escalated, it can lead to physical or verbal, emotional or spiritual harm to either the person who is angry or to the person that they are angry at. Human anger is incompatible with right relationships, including right relationship with God. That is righteousness. So what do we do about it? The next verse starts off, therefore. And there's a saying that says that if there's a therefore, it's there because of what went before. And so when we think about that, what went before? Well, verses 19 and 20 went before. Everyone, all of us, is told to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger doesn't produce right relationship with God or with others. So therefore, if we want to avoid anger, what do? Well, it says we get rid of all moral filth and the evil that's so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in you which can save you. Now, in the original language, that word get rid of, or that phrase get rid of, can be translated as to take off your old clothes that are filthy. If you've been working outside in the filth and in the dust and in the dirt, and you come inside and you wash your hands, are you perfectly clean? No, you're not. No. You've actually got to take off those filthy, dirty clothes. You can't be clean until you've taken them off. In the same way, you can't break habits of bad words or anger if you continue to be immersed in what James calls the moral filth and the evil that's in the world all around about you. Think of a young child who's been watching a video that they probably shouldn't have been watching. And it's got swearing in it. And then afterwards, you hear this child use some of those same words. Or you see a child who's sitting there and they're gaming on some violent show. And then afterwards you wonder why they're angry or displaying aggression towards others. It's a reality that you absorb what you interact with. If you are watching movies because you like a particular genre, but they are full of bad language or other stuff, it's going to rub off. There's that risk that it will impact on you. James says, get rid of the moral filth and evil that's so prevalent. Take it off and don't immerse yourself in it again. I want you to stop for a moment and think about the moral filth or the evil that you are regularly exposed to. It might be the culture in your workplace. It might be the genre of movies you watch or the games that you play. And ask yourself, how can I intentionally clean myself from it or not engage in it? Do you recognize it for what it is and the impact it can have upon you in your language, in your thoughts, in your actions? And I'm aware that in some cases you're in a workplace when you sit around the table and the conversation that happens there is full of bad language. I'm aware that for some of you, you're in a workplace where you're dealing with trauma. You're dealing with the horrors of the world. And you need to be in that place. God's put you in that place. But how do you work in that place and not be contaminated by what you hear? One of the things that we've learned in ministries that I'm involved in and others are involved in the church is that when you are exposed to that, it's really helpful to pray a prayer at the end of that session or the end of that time and say, God, would you remove the thoughts and the memories that you don't want me to have? And we've found that's a really powerful prayer. And sometimes people have come to me and they'll, someone who I don't really know, and I've maybe met with them and prayed with them and whatever else through horrible stuff. And they'll come to me sometime later and they'll say, oh, do you remember me? And I'll say, I remember your face, but I'm sorry, that's all I remember. Why? Because the Lord will take the trauma, he will take the horror, the language, whatever it is, off you. When your work requires you to be in that place. On the other hand, if you are choosing to watch certain movies or play certain games that are wrong, then remove yourself from it. Don't allow it to contaminate you. Now, one of the other things that James writes in this verse is that you should humbly accept the word planted in you which can save you. What's this word that he's referring to? Well, there are two verses that give us a clue. One is where it says the word which can save you. In other words, that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that will save you. If we go back a few verses to the end of last week's passage, we saw that it is the word of truth. He chose to give us birth, that is, salvation. We are born again through the word of truth. And so the word, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is what will save you and give you new birth. And so we're being told here to get rid of all the moral filth and the evil that's so prevalent, how we accept the word of truth, we accept the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are born again, and we choose to step away from what was. We need to let the saving grace and truth of Jesus grow in us. It's planted in you. It's planted as a seed in you, that it would grow and mature in you. And as that happens, you can hear others and you can respond with godliness. Now, James then takes us from this aspect of listening to others and choosing how we respond to continuing to build on this aspect of the word. Now he's calling us to listen and respond to the word. And he says very clearly, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Listen to the word that is planted in you, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But don't just listen to the teachings of Jesus. Do what it says. And if you've been coming to Range for the last several years, you've had a chance to practice this every single week. Because at the end of our message, the end of the sermon, we then create a minute or so and we put up a slide. And it says, what did God say to me today? What was the word of God that's being spoken? What is it saying to you? That you would listen, not just hear it. Some people tell me they hear while they're asleep. That you would not just hear it, but you would listen to it and ask yourself, what's God saying to me? And then follow up with the question, well, what'll I do with it? What'll I do with what I've heard? That slide is based on this verse from James 1, 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, do what it says. Now James goes on to show us what will happen if we listen to the word and do what it says. But before that, he shows us what will happen if we listen to the word but don't do what it says. So in verse 23 he says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Have you had those days where you wake up in the morning and you go into the bathroom and you look in the mirror and you go, ah! Hair's all wild, your eyes are heavy. Imagine then if that had happened, but you just went and got yourself ready for the day and then you went down and you had breakfast and then you just went straight into the day. And you didn't go back and have a look in the mirror and see that your hair is still wild and that you sort of haven't done anything to sort of freshen up. And you don't realize until you're going down the street or you're in the shops or you're at work and someone looks at you and gives you the look. Says, you have a rough night? What James is writing about here is when you look in the mirror and you forget what you look like. And you walk away and you go into the day and you've totally forgotten. And I think he's addressing two different aspects in this verse. The first is he's using the mirror as a metaphor. As a way of saying, have a good look at yourself. Have a good look at your morals and your behaviours. And realise where the world's morals, filth and evil is impacting on you. And where you see that, have a look at that. And don't just walk away and get into your day and do nothing about it. If you do that, you are deceiving yourself. You might have listened, you might have looked at yourself in the mirror and gone, oh dear, I better do something about that. But don't do anything about that. That's the danger. But we get another insight into this verse. We actually miss it in most translations of this scripture. But if we look at a really direct translation of the scripture, we actually see it this way. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. The word natural there is the word Genesis. When he looks at his Genesis face. Genesis is the first book of the Bible. Genesis is where it describes how he created Adam and Eve and made them in his own image. So he's saying here that when you look into the mirror, when you look into the Word of God, you are discovering the image of your Creator. And you are learning what the Word says about what it means for you to become more like God created you to be. Your Genesis face, how God created you to be. Don't see yourself as the world sees you. See yourself as the person that God sees you as and how God created you to be. Don't look in the mirror and forget who you are. You are made in the image of God. You are made to be blessed, to grow into the person God intended you to be. And you see, that's what verse 25 says. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they'll be blessed in what they do. So whoever looks intently into the perfect law and does that, they will be blessed. A few weeks ago, as we finished the series on prayer, we talked about prayers of blessing. And we saw there that blessings is to become the person God created someone to be. It's to speak God's desires, God's plans, God's blessings over that person. When you look intently into the perfect law and do what the law says, you are walking in the image of the Creator, God, and you are walking into the image of who God called you to be. That is blessing. You are blessed when you do what God calls you to do and you become increasingly like Christ. Don't just hear the word of God. Do what it says, and you will be blessed. And it talks there about this perfect law. And what's this perfect law? Well, Paul calls this perfect law Christ's law. In 1 Corinthians 9:21, he says he is under Christ's law. Well, Christ's law is actually foreshadowed in the Old Testament. We find it in Jeremiah 31. In Jeremiah 31, there's this description of the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, and that God is bringing a new covenant. And what we read there is it says, "This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I'll put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I'll be their God and they'll be my people." In other words, there is a law, there is the good news, there is a gospel of Jesus Christ. The teachings of Jesus Christ is that perfect law that gives you freedom. Freedom from the past, from the sin, from the moral filth, from the evil of the world. You are set free from that by the gospel of Jesus Christ, by his teachings, his ways. And so we're called to live according to this perfect law of the teachings of Jesus. So don't forget these teachings, because it says, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So what we see in this passage is hear what God is saying, do what God is saying, and you become who God intended you to be. Hear, do, be blessed. And so if you are responding, if you are hearing others and responding to them, if you are hearing the word of God and responding to that, doing what it calls you to do, then you are growing increasingly in holiness. You are becoming more and more like Christ. And that's the third theme, to grow in holiness. It says those who consider themselves religious. The word religious today is sort of, it's got a bit of a negative connotation, hasn't it? When people think of the word religious, they go, well, you know, that's about the rites and the rituals of what people do in worship. And often they associate people who are religious without having a loving heart for God or for others. But that's not the context of this word in this case. In this verse, the word religious here is about having the external or the visible qualities of your life that is evident to others and that causes them to know that you're a follower of Jesus. So here being religious is about being setting an example that people go, well, he's an authentic follower of Jesus. I can tell that by what they say, by what they do. If you are growing in holiness, in that aspect around being religious in this context, then you are becoming more like Jesus. So James says there's three things you can do that reveals your authentic witness as a follower of Jesus. First of all, James says that those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves and their religion is worthless. So you might say, well, I'm actually a pretty good Christian. You know, I'm a pretty good witness of Jesus Christ to those around about me. Take a moment and think about your words when you're at work or when you're around certain friends, certain people. Are your words sarcastic? At times, are your words cutting? Do you drop the occasional swear word just so you fit in with the culture? Do you condemn others? Or if you're in that conversation and you are contributing to it, what direction is that conversation heading in? And what influence are you having over the direction of the conversation? Do your words reveal that you are a follower of Jesus? Or would people not know that you're a follower of Jesus by your words? Last week I talked about riding a horse. And if you want to ride a horse, it's really helpful, first of all, to catch it and put a bridle on it. And then once you've got it bridled, you put the reins around its neck and you climb on and you use those reins to help you determine the speed of the horse and the direction of the horse. When you talk, are you willing to bridle your tongue to control how fast you respond or the direction the conversation goes in? That's what it's saying here. Keep a tight rein on your tongue, that you would control the speed with which you respond and you would control the direction in which your words lead that conversation. If you are fast and loose with your words, then you're not being a very good witness of Jesus Christ. James is really strong. He says your religion is worthless. Your authentic witness to those around about you is worthless. In other words, he's saying, watch what you say and how you say it, because it's really, really important. As a follower of Jesus, the second way he says that you demonstrate that you're an authentic follower of Jesus is that you are merciful to the marginalized. He says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress. Now, in the time of Jesus, those who were most likely to fall through the safety net of society were the widows and the orphans. Throughout the scriptures, we see that our Father God always exhorted his people to be very caring towards the widow, the orphan, and the migrant. He always picks up on those three. Repeatedly throughout the scriptures, we see him saying, care for the widow, care for the orphan, care for the migrant. In this passage, it would seem that James is referring back to Psalm 68, verse 5, where it's talking about God, where God is a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows. In other words, God, our Father, accepts religion as being pure and faultless when you care for the fatherless, the orphans, and the widows in their distress. God, our Father, calls us to look after the marginalised. And when we do that, we reveal his character. When we are looking into the Word of God and when we are doing what it says. And that's why, as a church here at Rangeville, part of the tithes and offerings that you contribute every week go towards local missions like Winter Shelter, helping those who are homeless, like Eva's Place, helping young women who have found themselves pregnant and are considering abortion, and giving support to them so that they may choose to bring that child through to full term and be born and live and flourish. As Christians, we are called to care for the marginalised. And then the third way that James says you provide evidence of being a true follower of Jesus takes us back to the start of today's message, when he said religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. In other words, take off those garments that are filthy. Take off the garments of moral filth and evil, and then keep yourself clean. Keep yourself, he says, from being polluted by the world. To be holy means to be set apart, to grow in holiness. And to do that, you want to keep away from the pollution of the world. It doesn't mean you can't live and work in difficult situations where you are surrounded by pollution. But it's one thing to be around rubbish, it's a second thing to absorb it. Don't take on the rubbish of the world. The question that you need to ask is, what do you need to do to stay clean? To decontaminate your mind, your words, your actions, so you grow in holiness, so you grow to become the person God intended you to be rather than the world has brought you down to be. And again, just draw back on that thought. God, take from me the thoughts, the memories, the trauma that I've experienced here today, or in your workplace, or wherever it's been. And ask the Lord to clean you of it. Remove yourself where you can remove yourself from it. But if that's your workplace and you're being polluted, then ask the Lord to take it from you, decontaminate you from it, that you would walk free and be able to grow in holiness. And so today James has been setting up these topics for us that he's now going to go into more detail over the next four chapters, and as we're going to look at them in more detail over the coming weeks. So he's saying, bring blessing by doing what God's word says. Listen and respond to others with the righteousness in right relationship that God desires. Listen and respond to the word so that you'll be blessed. You'll become the person God intends you to be in what you do. And then grow in holiness. Be set apart from the world. You do that by controlling your words. You do that by caring for the marginalised. You do that by not being polluted by the world. So here's our chance to practice what we talked about earlier. What did God say to me today? But don't just listen. Do what God's word says. So ask yourself the question, what will I do with what I've heard? Heavenly Father God, we give you thanks for the wonderful, loving Father that you are to us. We thank you for this word to every one of us, your sons and daughters, our brothers and sisters. Lord God, we pray that we would learn to truly listen to one another, to listen to what they are saying, and to respond with a grace and a truth that comes through your dwelling in us. Heavenly Father, help us to see the Word of God, to see the gospel of Jesus Christ, to look into that, to hear that, and to do what it says. Help us to be authentic witnesses of Jesus Christ, that we would grow in holiness, that we would grow to increasingly become the person you created us to be, that we would look in the mirror and we would see our Genesis face. We would see the reality of who you created us to be, made in your image, to be your children and to bring light and hope and healing into this world. Father God, help this to be practical and real. Help us this week that when we find ourselves in conversations or in situations where there's just stuff all around us as the words being spoken or the themes that are being discussed, Father God, help us to not be polluted by that. Rather, help us to be a light. Help us to choose our words carefully, that we would lead a conversation into a far better place than it would otherwise be. Help us to step back from those situations and be able to be cleansed, refreshed, renewed, to not carry that, but instead walk in the truth of who you created us to be, to make the world a better place. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 0746361144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.